If making it easy to be an illegal alien isn't enough, how about offering a reward for being an illegal immigrant? No sane country would do that.
He's right, you know. But we do. Hi there, welcome to this Tuesday edition of The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. It's good to have you along on this second day of this week, January 28th, 2020. And there's a lot going on in the news. The Republicans stood up and talked back. And as a result, we have some things to talk about today. How are you? You doing okay? I hope you're doing well, you and yours, that you had a good day yesterday, got plans for a good day today, and hopefully it all turns out for you. Yesterday, around the studio, was a busy day here, and I was working on a couple of different episodes of the Dawson Now podcast, getting those tied up. So the one that releases this evening and the one that releases next week are, as they say, in the can. They're already filed and ready for release. In fact, can I encourage you? I know if you're not a subscriber to Dawson Now, let me encourage you to check it out. It's in the same places that you'll find this podcast. It's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, and the TuneIn Radio app. Just search for Dawson Now. Tonight's episode, it releases at 7 p.m. Central this evening. The one releasing tonight includes Kanye West speaking at the Strength to Stand conference a couple of weekends ago. So it's one that you should listen to what he has to say. So make sure you grab that one. And then the one for next week is Pastor Chris Hodges, the pastor of the largest church in Alabama, one of the largest churches in America. And it's a wide-ranging conversation about all kinds of things. And it's very interesting and lots of insight and wisdom in that one. They're two good podcasts that I think you should listen to. That's Dawson Now. Find it in all the usual places and give it a listen. And you may find that you want to subscribe because it's a good little show, even if I do say so myself. And I am part of it. I get to be silly and laugh at Scott and hopefully make him laugh from time to time. And then I bring the recordings back into my studio and finalize everything and get it ready for release, which was what I spent a good chunk of the day doing yesterday, as well as out running errands and taking K-Dog, the Kimber the Wonder Dog, out for a ride yesterday while I was on errands. It's another beautiful day in our neighborhood. Hopefully it is where you are as well. And now it's time to shift into what's absurd, aside from just general life. You remember my philosophy, and that is that you can either embrace absurdity and enjoy it for what it is, or you can be angry, sold up, and mad at the world. So let's embrace the absurdity for what it is and just understand how silly it can be. Did you see? I don't know if you even bothered to watch the Grammys. I didn't. The Grammy Awards honored Kobe Bryant at Staples Center. That was good of them. That was a good thing to do. But also, I'm sorry, but this is so ludicrous. It's just crazy for me. Michelle Obama won a Grammy. Yeah. Former First Lady, Michelle Obama won a Grammy Award. For what, you may ask? Well, she won the highest music award there is for recording herself reading a book. A book that was written by a ghostwriter, by the way. And this is how meaningless and worthless awards have become. I gave up on award shows a long time ago. I hung on to the Oscars for a while. My wife Jane and I both did because we'd want to see what came away because we were big into the movies and enjoyed the movies, and we just don't do the movies that much anymore because, quite honestly, there's so little it's worth spending your money on, And it costs so much to go to the movies nowadays. So we just don't. We gave up on the Grammys a long time ago. Because there's just something about clueless liberals patting each other on the back for doing a great job. It's just a waste of time. But Michelle Obama was awarded a Grammy for recording her audiobook. Yikes. That's where we've come to. That is absurd. I got to tell you, I'm not sure I could justify setting aside the time to listen to an audiobook, which in itself is crazy because, you know, listening to audiobooks is kind of like cheating. That's not taking the time to read and fully absorb. No. That's like the Cliff's Notes of literature. It's the audio Cliff Notes almost, because you're just listening to somebody else read the book to you. Which, don't get me wrong, I enjoy that, and I do that from time to time on trips. Audiobooks rule. You've got audiobooks lined up in your phone. You're on the road. You plug that phone into your stereo in the car and just listen to your little heart's content and listen to audiobooks on the road, because radio stations fade in and out and satellite radio doesn't have a lot to offer. So I listen to audiobooks quite often, or I backlog podcasts and listen while I'm on the road. That's what we did this past weekend. But audiobooks in that way, they're pretty cool, but it's not like sitting down and actually reading, because when you read, your mind creates the imagery. Your mind creates the whole universe that the book is living in. And in the audiobook, you're just listening to somebody tell you a story. I know that has value too, but come on. It's kind of cheating. Let's admit it. Remember what I say about honesty. Okay, moving forward.
This is CNN.
Oh my, I've got to play you some audio from CNN. Listen to this.
He also knows deep in his heart that Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is, you know, an administration defined by ignorance of the world. And so that's partly him playing to their base and playing to their audience, the credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump, that wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one and they're y'all elitists for them.
You elitists with your geography and your maps and your spelling, even though my
math and your reading.
Yeah, your reading, you know, your geography, knowing other countries, sipping your latte.
All those lines on the map.
Only them elitists know where Ukraine is.
Sorry, I apologize.
Oh my God!
But you know what? But it was Rick's fault. I blame Rick.
Oh my God.
But in all honesty,
blame you know what NPR should Rick. Why do? Not? Sorry, hold on. Wait.
Can
Rick,
I tell
give
you
me what, a second? Hold on. That was good. Sorry, Rick. That was a good one. I needed that.
That was Don Lemon and two of his guests on his CNN television news program. Ridiculing you. Mm-hmm. If you voted for and support your president, then you are a toothless, clueless, inbred, uneducated rube. This is what the liberal elitists think of you. In case it's not clear.
He also knows deep in his heart that Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is, you know, an administration defined by ignorance of the world. And so that's partly him playing to their base and playing to their audience, the credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump.
The credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump. That's you. In the eyes of the progressive elitists, you are the clueless boomer rube demo. Can I just say, I want to say this and hear me out to Don Lemon and his guests, none of whom will be listening to this, I know, but I need to get this out there. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. You have just helped the cause. You have proven what we have been saying about you for quite some time. Thank you. Thank you for the evidence. Thank you for proving that we have been right about you all this time. Thank you for offending millions and millions of Americans and driving them to the right when it's time to vote this year. Thank you, Mr. Lemon. Thank you so much for your transparent honesty, for your revealing the truth about yourself. Thank you. This one little thing, this one piece, this one clip of audio will do a great deal to motivate a lot of people to vote against whoever it is you think should be president. This 1 minute and 14 seconds of audio, this 1 minute and 14 seconds of video, which is now on YouTube, and I suggest you look it up today and share it with everyone you know, by the way. This one thing is going to go a long, long way in convincing people to go ahead and make up their mind and admit what they already suspect, and that is that everything the Democrats are doing is deception. Everything the Democrats are up to is because they think we are idiots. They're doing everything that's going on in Washington, D.C. right now in front of the Senate. The Democrats are pulling off this dog and pony show in order to take your vote away from you and to prevent you from voting the way you want this November, because they think you are a moron.
He also knows deep in his heart that Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is, you know, an administration defined by ignorance of the world. And so that's partly him playing to their base and playing to their audience, you know, the credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump, that wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one and they're, oh, y'all elitist for them.
That's you.
You elitist with your geography and your maps and your spelling, even though my
math and your reading.
Yeah, you're reading, you know, your geography, knowing other countries, sipping your latte.
All those lines on the map.
Only them elitists know where Ukraine is.
Sorry, I apologize.
Oh my God.
But you know what? But it was Rick's fault. I blame Rick.
You know, I wonder what all of the people, the thousands of people who have camped out, lined up, spent the night in New Jersey.
That was good. Sorry.
Not exactly your rube demo in New Jersey. I wonder what all of those people who've been lined up to watch our president speak. I wonder what they think of Don Lemon and his buddies having a great juvenile laugh at their expense. I wonder what they think about that. I wonder what New Yorkers, the state of New York, the people outside of that great liberal sinkhole called New York City, I wonder what they think of Don Lemon and his buddies laughing at their expense. I wonder what the people of Northern California or extreme Southern California, where there are actually great swaths of territory which have conservative people living in them, as opposed to that sinkhole called L.A., I wonder what the people not in the liberal strongholds in those states think about Don Lemon's characterization of them as the Clueless Rube demo. I wonder what they think about that. I have a feeling they already know, just like you and I really honestly already know, that Don Lemon and the rest of the liberal elite think we're all idiots, that we're the toothless, uneducated boobs who would vote for this guy who's in the president now. We're the ones who made a colossal mistake in 2016 that must be corrected by hook or crook. Yeah. Hook or crook. Crooks are who we're dealing with right now in the Democrat Party. Never, ever forget that. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Hi there. If you didn't know that's what the liberals think about you before now, I'm sorry to shock you. And if you deny this, then I suggest you do a little research and reading. For example, just read the comments below any article that is pro-conservatism. Go find one today and read the comments. And you will see that those who spend their time in the comment sections think you're a moron. They think you're an idiot. They think you're a fool. They think you're easily deceived. That you couldn't find Ukraine on a map. That's what they think about you. And it's a horrible thing to think. These same people who call you out, will call anyone out for being truthful about someone else's error, will rip you apart because they don't think you're intelligent enough to understand the world around you. And this is typical of progressivism. This is the drum I have beaten again and again and again and again, and that is that progressives, as evidenced by Don Lemon and his buddies, progressives believe they are intellectually superior to you. And what's odd, considering what just transpired on CNN with Don Lemon and his two guests, is that they also believe wholeheartedly they're morally superior to you. And yet, that moral superiority doesn't understand how wrong it is to ridicule those with whom you disagree. They will continue to disagree with you and continue behind your back, usually, to ridicule you. If you've ever wondered what goes on off camera, you just heard it. It just broke out on camera. Will he suffer any repercussions for what he's done? I doubt it, seriously. I doubt anyone will even blink. They'll all say, well, it's true. Because that's how they see you. Remember, Don Lemon works for a network run by a man who has changed the purpose of a news network from journalism to destroying a president. They're not journalists digging in and finding the reality of stories anymore. They're all being assigned tasks which revolve around eliminating Donald Trump from the Oval Office. That's their whole key. That's everything they do. And so when we see Don Lemon and his guests ridiculing people who disagree with them, don't expect him to get any trouble for it. Unless it's from people like you and me who'd like to give him grief for that. No, these people are focused on anything and everything that pushes forward their desperate effort to undermine Donald Trump. This is what they live for. For example, this whole story about that's coming out about this leaked portion of former Ambassador John Bolton's book. Remember, he was the guy we sent to the UN. He was the bulldog. He and Donald Trump had disagreements. Donald Trump replaced him. It is under the purview of the president to do so. Part of his job. And there's been this leak. Supposedly someone in the White House, someone in the administration has been a patriot and leaked information from John Bolton's book that says Trump did demand quid pro quo from Ukraine. Well, it's a rumor and nothing more. Well, the angry Yankee, the great one, Mark Levin, went to Twitter, had some things to say. And they don't call him the great one for nothing. With all of the rhetoric we're seeing today in social media and in traditional media about the John Bolton story, it's good to see him pushing back with some actual facts like this. He said on Twitter, he went to Twitter and he posted and posted and posted and posted like this. If every word of this New York Times story is true, which I doubt, as it's another politically timed leak, how does this change anything? As a matter of fact, the word fact in capital letters, there was no quid pro quo. And there's still no evidence to the contrary. That's a good point. House Democrats weren't able to prove anything about quid pro quo and have conveniently timed, and this conveniently timed book doesn't change that fact. It's like they have a crime in search of evidence at this point. Levin goes on to make a few points. Here's number one. Bolton's book was obviously timed for maximum impact and sales. Having written 8 books, I can tell you that it's extraordinary that an author could complete a book in about 2 months and the published release in 3 to 4 months. Number two, in approximately 6 months since departing the White House, Bolton's book will be in bookstores. And now the litigation strategy makes sense. First, he went to court to seek a judge's opinion on whether he could testify in the House. And point number three, then he does an about-face, announcing through counsel that he's available to testify should the Senate ask him. Therefore, he sought to delay any testimony while still writing his book. But after he completed it, submitted it for NSC review, he became available for the trial. Point four, and he became available because he knew he'd be criticized for holding back his allegations until the book's release. Moreover, the strategy also maximizes publicity for the book. The cover of the book is presently highlighted on Drudge and through the media. You can't buy that kind of publicity, folks. You just can't. He's trending all over the place on the day his book is available for pre-sale. Shocker. But wait, there's more. Levin says, having trashed Bolton through his career, including blocking his confirmation as ambassador to the UN, the Democrats now love Bolton. His testimony is crucial, except in the House. Every alleged utterance potentially monumental. And the trial's a sham, cover-up, partisan, etc. Without him, it's pure demagoguery. In other words, Bolton is trying to sell a book, and the Democrats are trying to cheat Americans out of an election. That's what it boils down to. And that's why they call him the Great One. He cuts through all of the smoke, all of the fog, and gets down to the facts. This is about selling a book. That's what this is about. Now, there is another story that we'll get to in a few minutes, possibly if I can, about Alexander Vindman. You remember him? He testified for the Democrats. It turns out, well, let's just do that now. Hang on. Let me move over here. A source close to the Trump administration has informed Breitbart News that Army Lieutenant Colonel Yevgeny Vindman, a senior ethics lawyer for the National Security Council, is in charge of reviewing all publications by current and former NSC officials. The official added that Yevgeny Vindman could have seen former National Advisor John Bolton's draft manuscript after it was submitted for pre-publication review at the end of December. The review is a standard process that allows the NSC to review book manuscripts, op-eds, or any other material, or any classified material, to be eliminated before publication. The New York Times reported Sunday evening that Bolton's draft book manuscript, which has been submitted to the NSC for pre-publication review on December 30th, alleged that President Trump told Bolton in August of 2019 that he wanted to withhold security assistance to Ukraine until it agreed to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden, among others. It wasn't clear if the Times had seen the Bolton manuscript. Its sources were, quote, multiple people who, quote, described Mr. Bolton's account of the Ukraine affair. In other words, some people said some things. A lot like we heard during the testimony during the Democrat hearings in the House. People who had never actually been associated with anything, they just heard things. Bolton's lawyer, Chuck Cooper, issued a statement in which he said, "It's clear, regrettably, from the New York Times article published today that the pre-publication review process has been corrupted." He didn't confirm or deny the Times reporting on the content of the manuscript. Yevgeny Vindman is the identical twin brother of Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who's one of the Democrats' key witnesses. Remember? And his commander said, he's a political operative in a uniform. He's a leftist. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. It is the Tuesday, January 28th, 2020 edition of the podcast. And it is really great to have you along. I really do appreciate you listening. Thanks so much. And thanks for sharing with your friends, letting them know what is part of your daily routine. Oh my, we were talking about this whole Bolton manuscript leak. By the way, I'm air quoting leak because I'm very suspicious, and I think you should be suspicious as well. I just don't think it's legitimate, given the fact that the person responsible for reviewing this stuff is a brother of a guy who was a Democrat witness for the impeachment hearings, and that guy's commanding officer has described him as a political activist in a uniform, that he's... And what kills me about that is that when you criticize him, leftists, progressives, all say, well, that's horrible. How dare you criticize a member of our military? Someone who is decorated, someone who, yeah, see, then they love the military. Then they think they're credible. Any other time, they're evil baby killers. That's what those people are. And we should defund everything they do. It drives me nuts. And it's a short trip some days. Now, let's go back. Where did I leave off? And this is just a couple of paragraphs here. Yevgeny Vindman is the identical twin brother of Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who's one of the Democrats' key witnesses in the impeachment of President Donald Trump. The brothers have offices across from each other. They see each other all the time. Yevgeny Vindman is the identical twin brother of Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. Actually, when you see the pictures of him, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. One of them's wearing a suit. One of them's wearing a uniform. What's going on here? Alexander Vindman told the House Intelligence Committee in his closed-door deposition that he told his brother, Yevgeny, about President Trump's July 25 call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. In November, Yevgeny Vindman attended his brother's public testimony at the House impeachment inquiry. The Wall Street Journal described Vindman as, quote, an NSC lawyer handling ethics issues, end quote. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman described his brother as the, quote, lead ethics official, end quote, at the NSC. A U.S. Office of Government Ethics webpage updated on Friday identifies Yevgeny Vindman as the alternate designated agency ethics official for the NSC. So this guy, who's the brother of a Democrat witness, impeachment witness, is one of the key people responsible for vetting for vetting publications by people once employed by our government. He would have seen and would know what was in the book. And he is, as far as a lot of people are concerned, the top numero uno suspect for being the leaker. Is he telling the truth or not? That's another thing. But is it relevant? There are a lot of Republicans who say, nah, the circus is over. It's time to move on. That Sunday night revelation about about Bolton's forthcoming book have threatened to upend the Senate's impeachment trial, but several Republican senators are saying the news doesn't change anything for them, according to The Blaze. The New York Times reported late Sunday that Bolton's new book claims that President Donald Trump admitted in August that he wanted to continue holding up military aid to Ukraine if the Ukrainian government did not cooperate with investigations into the Bidens. Trump responded that he never told John Bolton that the aid to Ukraine was tied to investigations into Democrats, including the Bidens. Naturally, the news prompted congressional Democrats to reiterate their longstanding calls for witnesses, with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer asking, how can Senate Republicans not vote to call that witness and request his documents? He said this at a Monday morning news conference. In an appearance on CNN, and you know how I think about CNN.
This is CNN.
And considering what they've just done and the way they've characterized you, Senate Judiciary Committee member Mazie Hirono, the Democrat of Hawaii. Can I just ask, I know I have at least one subscriber, one listener in Hawaii. How does this woman keep getting reelected? Are your neighbors that clueless? Can they watch this woman and actually think she knows what's going on? Can they? She is clearly a partisan hack. Hack! And she keeps getting reelected. It just blows my mind. Well, she said that not calling Bolton to testify, quote, will tell me that the Republicans are going right along with the president and Mitch McConnell in rigging this trial, end quote. Now, keep in mind that that is the Democrat line. Cover up, rigging the trial. They're saying all of this stuff. And remember, they covered a lot up. They held secret meetings behind closed doors in the basement. They wouldn't allow the Republicans to ask questions or call witnesses. They wouldn't allow the transcripts of those interrogations, those sessions to be made public in a large part. They are covering up a lot because a lot of what was uncovered in their questioning completely torpedoes their efforts to torpedo Trump. Before the trial proceedings resumed yesterday, some Republican lawmakers were dismissive of the report's overall effect on the case. Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee told reporters, I think we're going to have some news, something that comes out every single day. Doesn't really change anything. She's so right. Just remember the Kavanaugh hearings. Don't ever forget that. It seemed like every couple of days a new bombshell came out about somebody making claims and somebody having something to accuse him of. And all of it was bogus. Blackburn's fellow Tennessean, outgoing Senator Lamar Alexander, said he'd withhold judgment on whether or not new evidence was needed until the White House's team finished their opening arguments and senators had asked written questions later in the week. Senator Ted Cruz, the Republican from Texas, told reporters the news doesn't change the underlying facts. That a president is justified, has full authority, and indeed a responsibility to investigate serious evidence of corruption. He also said he predicted at the outset of this proceeding that there would be breathless revelations day after day that would be turned into a frenzy. He's right, just like the Kavanaugh hearings. There's nothing new here to what the House managers have been saying, says Senate GOP Conference Chairman John Barrasso of Wyoming. He said that about the Bolton News at a Monday news conference. Also said, take a breath. Let's listen to the president's lawyers today in the case they present. By the way, they did an amazing job presenting the case. And if you missed it, I suggest that you go find the video of Alan Dershowitz. Ooh. House Judiciary Committee ranking member Doug Collins, the Republican of Georgia, said, do not get distracted by the shiny objects, saying we need witnesses or Bolton's new manuscript or anything else. Don't lose sight of the fact that the facts haven't changed. Speaking to reporters in the basement of the Capitol building, Republican from Louisiana, Senator John Kennedy, even questioned Bolton's credibility, saying, quote, I wouldn't bet my house on him telling the truth, and said that the new allegations would have more credibility if they were raised by someone else. And of course, there are those Senate Republicans that weren't so dismissive. GOP Senator Susan Collins of Maine, who we know is a quote, moderate, and will vote with Democrats, said the Bolton Book News strengthens the case for witnesses. She said this in a statement. Senator Mitt Romney of Utah must be so proud by now, because he has pretty much removed all doubt that he's just a liberal wearing an R on his lapel, said it was increasingly likely that other Republicans will join those of us who think we should hear from John Bolton. Congratulations, Senator Romney. You have taken the Democrat bait hook, line, and sinker, because this is what they want you to do. They want you to allow them to bring in witnesses, because they want to stir up as much dust and mud as possible to make it impossible or very, very difficult to clearly see what is going on. This is what they want. They want their witnesses, and they're willing to negotiate with you on a one-for-one. Hey, you give us one we want, we'll give you one you want. Just remember, they lie, they never tell the truth, they never honor things. They will find ways to make everything advantage them. That's how progressives work. They wouldn't be willing to negotiate with you if they didn't know it was always going to come out to their advantage. You cannot trust them to be honorable. The Senate's newest Republican member even went so far as to criticize Romney over wanting to hear from Bolton. In a Monday tweet, Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia said that her colleague wants to appease the left by calling witnesses with potentially damaging testimony to the trial. She said, the circus is over. It's time to move on. Here's her tweet. After 2 weeks, it's clear that Democrats have no case for impeachment. Sadly, my colleague, Senator Romney, wants to appease the left by calling witnesses who will slander the real Donald Trump during their 15 minutes of fame. The circus is over. It's time to move on. Additionally, despite his previously stated desire to not draw out the length of the trial with more witnesses, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said he'd want to see what's in the manuscript in order to determine whether or not he should be called. I want to see what's in the manuscript, he says. Let's see what's in the manuscript. Let's see if it's relevant. And if it is, I'll make a decision about Bolton. However, Graham also reiterated Monday that if the Senate calls Democrat desired witnesses, then the chamber should also allow President Trump to call all relevant witnesses he has requested. Senator Graham, don't fall for this. Don't bite the bait, sir. Stand on the principles, knowing that the evidence still stands and that nothing has really changed. Don't fall for this. Welcome back to the Friday edition. I'm just wishful thinking here. It's the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast, Tuesday, January 28th, 2020. Stuff that's going on in D.C. is just reprehensible. It really is. But thank goodness for people with clear heads and good brains who stand up before all of the lunatics, these politicians representing the people of the United States who really aren't representing the people of the United States. They're representing their own political ideologies. People stand up and tell them what. People like Harvard Law School professor Alan Dershowitz. I referred to him yesterday. He spoke for a little over an hour. And the link to this particular story is in today's show notes. And within this story is the video of his entire time there, that hour and 6 minutes or so. Let me see, how long was that? Let me look at it again. 1 hour, 6 minutes, 37 seconds. Or wait a minute. 1 hour, 6 minutes, and 42 seconds. No, it's 1 hour, 6 minutes, 37 seconds, in case you're, in case that matters to you. But he delivered what Fox News calls a spirited constitutional defense of President Trump. He flatly turned toward House impeachment managers and declared they had picked dangerous and wrong charges against the president, noting that neither abuse of power nor obstruction of justice, or obstruction of Congress, that is, was remotely close to an impeachable offense as the framers had intended. In a dramatic moment, by the way, I will say that they are well aware of this, although they will never say so publicly. They're well aware that abuse of power and obstruction of Congress are not impeachable offenses. They know it. But they know also that it sounds good. It plays well. And they group tested things. And they are playing on the ignorance of people who don't understand how our constitutional process works. And they know that these particular phrases play well with the people. And that's why they use them. Moving on. In a dramatic primetime moment, the liberal constitutional law scholar, remember, he's a liberal, a liberal constitutional law scholar reiterated that although he voted for Hillary Clinton, he could not find constitutional justification for the impeachment of a president for non-criminal conduct, or conduct that was not at least akin to defined criminal conduct. He said, "I'm sorry, House managers, you just picked the wrong criteria. You picked the most dangerous possible criteria to serve as a precedent for how we supervise and oversee future presidents." This is what he told the House Democrats, including the head House impeachment manager, Representative Adam Schiff, the Democrat from California. He said that, quote, "all future presidents who serve with opposing legislative majorities now face the realistic threat of enduring vague charges of abuse or obstruction." And he added that a long list of presidents have previously been accused of abuse of power in various contexts without being formally impeached. The list included George Washington, who refused to turn over documents related to the Jay Treaty; John Adams, who signed and enforced the so-called Alien and Seditions Act; Thomas Jefferson, who flat out purchased Louisiana without any kind of congressional authorization whatsoever; John Tyler, who notoriously used and abused the veto power; James Polk, who allegedly disregarded the Constitution and usurped the role of Congress; and Abraham Lincoln, who suspended habeas corpus during the Civil War. Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and others would also probably face impeachment using the Democrats' rules, said Dershowitz. He argued abuse of power has been a promiscuously deployed and vague term throughout history. It should remain a merely political weapon fit for campaign rhetoric, he said, as it has no standard definition or meaningful constitutional relevance. He then said he was nonpartisan in his application of the Constitution and would make the same arguments against such an unconstitutional impeachment if Hillary Clinton were on trial, passing what he called the shoe on the other foot test. He said, purely non-criminal conduct such as abuse of power and obstruction of Congress are outside the range of impeachable offenses. He quoted Supreme Court Justice Benjamin Robbins Curtis, one of the two dissenters in the notorious 1857 Dred Scott versus Sanford decision, and counsel for President Andrew Johnson during his impeachment trial in 1868, as saying there can be no impeachable offense without a law, written or unwritten, express or implied. Johnson, Dershowitz observed, was impeached for violating the Tenure of Office Act, a statute essentially designed to create the pretext to impeach Johnson. By passing the law first, lawmakers expressly recognized that criminal-like conduct was needed for impeachment. This is what he argues. And no president had ever been impeached for non-criminal conduct until Trump's impeachment last year. Indeed, a close review of the history near in time to the founding of the United States, he says, revealed that the founders explicitly wanted to avoid making impeachment so arbitrary and powerful that it effectively created a British-style parliamentary democracy in which presidents served at the pleasure of the legislature. Dershowitz further suggested that the rule of lenity, or the legal doctrine that ambiguities should be resolved in favor of defendants, also counseled toward acquitting the president. The Constitution permits impeachment and removal of presidents for treason, bribery, and high crimes and misdemeanors, but does not clearly define the terms. Responding to reports that former National Security Advisor John Bolton has written in his forthcoming book that Trump told him he wanted to link Ukraine aid to an investigation of the Bidens, Dershowitz argued that even an explicit quid pro quo would not constitute an impeachable abuse of power. Quote, nothing in the Bolton revelations, even if true, would rise to the level of an abuse of power or an impeachable offense. That is clear from the history. That is clear from the language of the Constitution. You cannot turn conduct that is not impeachable into impeachable conduct simply by using terms like quid pro quo and personal benefit. It is inconceivable, he said, that the framers would have intended such politically loaded terms and subjective words without clear definitions to serve as the basis for impeachment. Fearing a partisan impeachment process, which is exactly what this is, the framers had rejected the offense of maladministration as a basis for impeachment. And abuse of power was similarly vague, says Dershowitz. He wrapped up his argument, steeped in historical and textual analysis of the Constitution and founding documents, by urging senators to reject the passions and fears of the moment, as the framers had similarly warned. And a series of Republican senators lined up to shake his hand after his presentation concluded. I encourage you, should watch. It's an hour and 6 minutes and change. And being a liberal guy and a professor at Harvard who teaches this stuff, who studies this stuff, who knows all of this in context with the history of our nation and its founding documents and the law which guides us, the Constitution. When he speaks, he's speaking the truth. He's speaking honestly, this is a guy who voted for Hillary Clinton. Remember this. This is a guy who did not vote for Trump. Hey, this is a man who has stepped away from the passions of the moment and the emotional appeal of all of the arguments and looked at the actual legal aspects and has looked at the Republicans and the Democrats, looked the Democrats in the eye and told them, you've made the wrong arguments and you've set a dangerous precedent for the future. And that's something that everyone needs to remember, that if the Democrats succeed in this effort to remove a duly elected president from office simply because, and they have not proven anything other than this, simply because he beat their candidate. If they succeed in doing this, regardless of how they label it or how they argue it, this is what they're attempting to do. And they're trying to prevent him from running again in 2020, this year, and succeeding for another 4 years term. If they succeed in their efforts, then every president from this day forward will face the same challenge. There will never be another Republican president. If the Democrats succeed in this, they will succeed in setting a precedent which will allow them to constantly torment any president elected which they do not approve. Please remember that in the very beginning, the resistance movement said that they were going to make this nation ungovernable. The roots of the resistance movement are quite obviously in the Democrat Party. That's where it all starts. These people are trying to make the nation ungovernable, and they're trying to remove the person that was voted into office that they didn't approve of. They will make life hell for anyone in the future who succeeds in spite of their efforts if they win this time. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here for the Wednesday edition tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.